Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
From the number one sports site in the world.
Big names.
Bold interviews.
Beyond the X's and O's.
Welcome to the fastest 2 hours in radio.
On Yahoo Sports Radio.
And yahoosportsradio.com.
This is the Big E Sports Show.
With the one and only, the triple threat, the Big E.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell. The 6 foot former Sooner women's basketball player.
She can post, pin, and produce with some of today and yesterday's biggest stars.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell delivers sports the way you want it. Get ready to go beyond the X's and O's
with today's star athletes, coaches, and sports figures.
This is the Big E Sports Show
right now.
Now from the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio.
Are you ready?
Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze.
Here she is, the one and only, the Big E, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
It is so wonderful to have you with us as weekends always start early at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. March Madness is underway, and we certainly hope that your bracket, it is shaping up the way you anticipated. Tonight on our program, I have invited back one of our absolute favorites as we're going to head out to the heart of the Big 12 Conference in Norman, Oklahoma. We're going to get the pulse on the Sooner men and women's basketball teams. Of course, the Sooner men, they opened tournament action yesterday against North Dakota State. Sooner head coach Lon Kruger has really done just a remarkable job this season, and we want to make a point to highlight just this incredible run this year. We're delighted to welcome back in the senior writer with OU Insider, and also you can listen to him on the radio 1400 KREF and also online at sportstalk1400.com, our good friend James Hale. James, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'd always do better if I could see you, but, you know, I'll take that lovely voice and just run with it. We'll be fine.
Well, listen, don't hold back. Don't hold back. You can go to our radio website, eradiosports.com. We just had a sit-down exclusive interview with the Dallas Mavericks head coach, so you can see me in person, going one-on-one with Coach Carlisle.
Well, you know, believe me, that was his positive, more than you. But, I mean, I'm sure, that was a great talk, and you do a great job covering the Mavs, and it's always fun to talk NBA with you. So, Coach Kruger has had a great year, and he's really had a good run, and he's on a good run here at Oklahoma. The team's getting better. The program's getting better. He's recruiting better. So things are on the up and up. He's going to lose two talented seniors in Cam Clark, who's had a great senior year, and Tyler Neal, who's had his best year since winning the Gatorade Player of the Year coming out of high school in Oklahoma. And both those guys are going to be missed, but I think that he's actually got just as good a talent, if not better talent, coming in than the three recruits. And I think they'll try to add another recruit in the second signing period, so we'll see how that goes.
James, you know, there's always so much attention with Sooner football and on Bob Stoops' program. How refreshing is it for you, being there in Norman, to kind of change things up a bit, just the success that Lon Kruger has had at Oklahoma in only his third year? I mean, it's been a remarkable turnaround and really a renaissance.
Well, maybe. I don't look at it that way, and I don't mean to disagree with you, but mm-hmm. I mean, I think OU's always been a good men's basketball program. I mean, you know, even if you know, go back to the Billy Chubbs era when Oklahoma was ranked number one, three straight years, and they had the great women Tinsdale, and they built off that. Then he followed that with legendary Stacey King and Mookie Blaylock and Ricky Grace and, you know, those guys. And, and Harvey Grant. That's one of the greatest teams of all time. And then Kelvin Sampson had his run, too, where he made it to a Final Four and, you know, won some conference championships and really had a good run. You know, and Jeff Cable made it to the Elite Eight, and then, you know, Jeff, you know, just really had some bad luck with a couple of high-profile recruits that never panned out, kind of ruined his program, and he kind of got sideways with the administration. So you know, they decided to move on. But I think they've hit another home run with Lon Kruger, who's come in. And I think Lon is actually, who's had one of the greatest runs in NCAA history. I don't think he gets enough credit for being how great he has been. And it's because he's never won a national title, but he's been in a Final Four. He was recruiting great guns at UNLV when he decided to come to Oklahoma. So I think his recruiting has picked up as a coach. So I think OU's always played really good men's basketball. I think they have one of the top 20 programs in the country, but people just don't always recognize it. But a lot of people would like to have the success that this men's basketball program has had at OU.
You know, I really was just referencing those later years of Capel, and it just seemed like the program wasn't where we were accustomed to it being, whether it was with Kelvin Sampson or with Billy Tubbs. Billy Tubbs' basketball was a lot of fun to watch during those years.
Well, it was the best. I mean, I always say it was the rock and roll era of sports because Barry Switzer was doing his thing in football. Enos Seymour was doing his thing in baseball. Stan Abel was doing his thing in wrestling. So Oklahoma was good. Heck, you know, Bart Conner and those guys were building the men's basketball gymnastics program. So, and in track and field, we had the number one 4x100 and 4x400 relay teams in track and field. So how about that, you know? And I always call it the rock and roll era. And I had a lot of fun going to school at that time, E. And you did too, probably. But it was everybody always says, you want to go back to high school? No, I want to go back to my days at OU. And can I have my same money I'm making now and what I know now? Uh-huh. I'd have a good time at OU, you know. So
you were listening to the
Well, I didn't have any money in college. I don't know about you, you know, but at least I have a dollar now, you know, so that'd be fun.
The senior writer with OU Insider and KREF 1400 AM in Norman, Oklahoma, is joining us this weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Connect with us online at E Radio Sports at Twitter. And, you know, we're talking about Lon Kruger. I guess, you know, it's really not that much of a surprise when you look at his track record. I mean, he's taken five Division I school programs to the NCAA tournament. You know, K-State, Florida, Illinois, UNLV, and, of course, OU.
Well, that's exactly right. That's why, in my opinion, he should be talked about more as one of the legendary coaches coaching today in college basketball. Now, Coach Kruger doesn't search out that stuff. He's great with the media, absolutely great, but he's not going to call people and he's not going to campaign for it. He's not going to tell his PR guy to go do it. And again, it's probably because he hasn't won a national title yet, and some people don't look at him as a great postseason coach, but I think that sometimes is because of the teams that he is coaching more so than the ability of the coach. And, you know, when you're always rebuilding programs like he has been doing, sometimes that hurts you in postseason play because you get there, but you start wondering, you know, you start looking at matchups then and closer matchups and what you can do. And so it becomes a little bit of a different animal at that point. So, you know, I think he's done a great job. He's a great X's and O's guy, E. You being a former basketball star, you know, you understand that as well as anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But, boy, he can really X and O's. And I don't think OU's ever been out game-planned going into a game, and they may lose the game. But the players themselves tell me they always feel like they had the best game plan going in. And that's a testament to a coach when his own players will never blame him for a loss, and they'll blame themselves saying they didn't execute the game plan. And that's what I hear out of the players at Oklahoma when they fall short.
How does he maximize his talent? I mean, what's been his main ingredient for success? Because you look at his roster, he's got, 10 underclassmen, and especially in his starting five. I mean, they are young.
Well, what he's done, he has been able to take whatever talent he has, and he goes to work with that talent. So if he's got guards, he comes up with a guard-oriented offense. If he's got a center or a forward, all right, they'll start throwing the ball on the block. You know, if he's, you know, if they don't have that, if they, you know, are a forward oriented team, then he'll, you know, come up with plays and stuff for the forwards and kind of go to work with those guys and what they've got going. And so that's kind of how he approaches things and how he goes to work with things. And it's, that's what he's done the best and how he goes out and does things because, you know, he's really able to go out and make some things happen in that regard, and that's always a good thing about it. So he's able to put together his team based on the talent that he has.
Well, Athletic Director Joe Castiglione certainly found the right man for the job, but what has also been your impression of him? I mean, he comes across as a very positive person, a genuinely really nice guy, and the players, they got to love that.
Well, he's the best. I mean, his wife is too. I mean, it's a great family. It's great to have him in the community, man. They care about the community. He cares about the fans. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first day he's on campus, he says, practices are open. Come down. Bring me some plays. We'll try to run them. You know, we'll have some fun here. And you know what? He does have people that go to practice. Now, the football practices are closed, and that's a big debate up here and a big argument among fans of why the practices are closed when the fans mean so much to the program. So, but in basketball, they're wide open, and that's, you can't even say that with Cherry Cole's program. So it's kind of interesting how sometimes things work out. But Lon has won over a lot of people just because he's been very accessible, and people love him for that.
We are going one-on-one with James Hale, the senior writer with OU Insider and KREF 1400 in Norman, Oklahoma. We're going to step aside for a quick commercial break. Join us online at Twitter at eRadioSports, and we will be right back with much more at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The Big E.
Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell, encouraging you to join us online at E Radio Sports at Twitter as we are having a candid conversation with James Hale, the senior writer with OU Insider and KREF 1400 AM in Norman, Oklahoma. We're talking about the Sooner men's basketball team right now. And of course, they were certainly recognized, Lon Kruger, their head coach, for just an amazing turnaround, 23-9 overall and a second place finish, what, in the conference. And as a result, he was named the 2014 AP Big 12 Coach of the Year. And I think the thing, James, I appreciate about Coach Kruger the most is that he said there's no secret formula. It's about outworking, out hustling, and out competing your opponent.
Right. And he said every one of his teams that. He told these guys at Oklahoma the same thing. So they were terribly disappointed when San Diego State beat them in the first round last year. But they've come back with a better year. Those guards have grown up. They played a year ahead of time. Maybe Buddy Hield is on the verge of becoming one of the bigger names, one of the stars in college basketball. Cam Clark was named the team's MVP. And I think he's, you know, had a really good year. I think Spangler, Ryan Spangler, their center, who's a true warrior and brings the toughness factor to the team that this team needs, is a guy that's becoming a factor in college basketball. He needs some help. I mean, I know Bennett tries coming off the bench, but usually when Bennett comes in, Spangler comes out. So they're not playing together. And Oklahoma's just a small team outside of Spangler. So big teams that can play over the rim, that bothers Oklahoma somewhat. But Spangler's a warrior, make no mistake about it. Then that kid from New York, Isaiah Cousins, is a real jewel of a young man and a real pleasure. And that street game is toned down a little bit, but sometimes it helps him now that he's got it more refined, and he's a fun player to watch. And all of a sudden he's decided he's going to be the best defensive guard on the team, and he's really good. And sometimes, you know, the best athletes like Michael Jordan did with Chicago that all of a sudden decide, all right, I'm not only am I going to be the best scorer, but I'm going to be the best defensive player. Kobe Bryant's another that comes to mind that did that.
Oh, yeah.
And Isaiah's doing the same thing.
Yeah, Isaiah out of, what, Mount Vernon, New York. But the player I did want to hit on some more is Ryan Spangler. This is a kid that went to Gonzaga University, but he was right there. He's 20 miles from Norman in Tuttle, Oklahoma.
Jeff Cable didn't recruit him. You know, Jeff never offered him. And, you know, a lot of us tried to tell Jeff, there's a pretty good player right there.
Right.
You know, it's right there in Oklahoma. And plus, he was the Gatorade Player of the Year. There are a lot of good things about him. He was a big-time quarterback, too, so the athleticism was off the charts. But, you know, Jeff never offered him, and so he went to Gonzaga. But was incredibly homesick and wanted to come home. And it's just the difference in coaches. You know, Lon Kruger said, yeah, you want to play for me? Heck yeah. We'll come and get you. No, he didn't say that, really. But he said, you know, hey, you've got a scholarship, and come on. And he's been a great addition. Ryan is a workaholic, was a battler on the scout team when he had to sit out a year. He is really fun working with the media. He's usually a no-excuse guy. But he's a real pleasure to deal with. He's outstanding.
That's a great update on the men's basketball team for the Sooners. Let's talk about and shift gears here and talk about Cherry Cole's Oklahoma women, because it is a season that was up and down. It was something that we were not accustomed to. They faced some very difficult stretches and a ton of turbulence. What was this team lacking this year?
They just never came together as a team, and it's one of those weird things. You have a bunch of seniors, but they just never fired. They weren't a good team. They were okay. They just weren't a good team. They lost close games down the stretch.
Three overtimes, yeah.
Yeah, in some games they got blown out against matchups that they had at home, like Duke. And, you know, that game they were down by 17. Then they outplayed Duke in the second half. So how does that happen? You know, they showed they could play better, you know, but and they may play Duke in the second round this time. So it's going to be interesting to see which Sooner team will show up when they do play. The future is going to be interesting because I think Coach Cole is facing a major right now in her program. And yeah, I'm betting her to come through. She always does. And you know that. You played, you know, been playing there and following her, you know. But she's got a daunting task. They have not been recruiting like they did just 7 or 8 years ago. In other words, there's no Paris twins on the team and things like that. So, you know, they are, you know, they need to pick up the recruiting process. They're going to lose Vegas. One of the second leading scorer all time in program history, and they lose 3,000 point scores, and you've got all those issues that you're having to deal with. And with that being the case, you know, in recruiting, they've got to get out and find some players, and that's going to be interesting to see how they do that and what happens there. And they've got to come up with better talent, and they've got to recruit better. They've got a number of girls coming in, and one is Gabrielle Ortiz, who's the fourth-rated point guard in the country. Some think she's the best. She's out of Racine, Wisconsin, I believe it is. She's electric. She'll pass the ball. You'd love her being a post girl. Mm. She'll get you the ball. Just make sure you're looking, or she's going to hit you in the head. You know, but that's going to be – so some Showtime's going to be back in the program, and Sherry likes that when they're running and gunning a little bit. You know, but she's got to go out and get better talent. Because at one time, Oklahoma was one of the top four or five programs in the country. It's not that right now. It's still top 20, top 25. But they were probably on the bubble getting into the tournament this year. They did make it. That's 15 straight years. And hopefully Sherry can take that when they go on the road in recruiting, and that will pay off for them.
Well, a huge sigh of relief because the Sooners, you're right, James, they were one of the last four at-large teams selected by the NCAA committee. So I know they had a very tough non-conference schedule, and that certainly was key for them to get in. And, of course, and as you had just mentioned, three very tough overtime losses. We are quickly running out of time with James Hale, the senior writer with OU Insider. And since he's on the show, we always want to get his pulse on Sooner football. How are practices going, and how are they unfolding?
Well, they've had four practices so far, and I think the coaches couldn't be any happier. I think they've been ecstatic how things are going. There's been no injuries. I think they're bigger, faster, stronger, and I think they feel like that they've got a really good team. They're still riding that momentum of the Sugar Bowl victory over Alabama.
That was huge.
And I think that they feel like that things are going really, really well. So they've got competition at running backs. They're looking for the new generation of running backs and receiver. And now, of course, they need a backup quarterback. So those are the big issues right now. And they need a couple of guys in the secondary, too. So it's not like they don't have some questions in the spring, but they've got a lot of talent to try to fill those holes. And so it's just a matter of stepping forward and finding out who that next generation is going to be.
Well, Oklahoma's spring game is set for April 12th. And there are a number of compelling storylines that we will definitely have you back on so we can get into those as well, James. Okay?
Enjoy the big dance.
Absolutely. James, we'll talk to you real soon. Thank you.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Much more straight ahead this weekend at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Stay close.
Radio. Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The Big E.
Okay. Okay, we are rolling right along. We're back with you this evening at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And I'm looking so forward to our next interview because in this next segment, we will focus our attention on Michigan State and what an incredible year they have had, not only with football, but with men's basketball. Michigan State, the bandwagon, it is absolutely overflowing. President Obama, he is now on board projecting the Spartans to win the 2014 National Championship and that the Spartans will have that one shining moment once again. So it is wonderful to bring on board for the first time on our show, Michael Emmerich. He is the editor in sports publishing, and he has just released his new book. Our good friends at Triumph Books help us out each and every week. This book is titled 100 Things Michigan State Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Hi, Michael. How are you?
I am super. As a Michigan State fan, I couldn't be better.
Indeed. It is true, and it's just a nice carryover effect from what happened in the fall into the spring. So let's first focus our attention tonight and have our conversation about the most timely subject, and that, of course, is Spartan men's basketball. They completely dominated in the Big Ten tournament and the success that Tom Izzo continues to have each and every year. How cool was it to see President Obama put the Spartans as his pick to win it all?
Well, I mean, I thought it was pretty darn cool. I bet I know somebody who didn't think it was so cool. Probably Izzo.
Oh.
Tom Izzo. You know, he's probably worried about his guys, you know, getting inflated heads. And, you know, frankly, during the course of the season, that was a problem. They'd, before the injuries, they played a little inconsistently. Izzo thought that this team had was easily distracted. So I think he's probably hasn't slept much the last 3 days as everybody keeps picking Michigan State to win it all and then culminating, of course, in Obama. So I'll bet you Izzo has broken out in hives a few times.
Well, I was going to say that's probably a big challenge for Coach Izzo when you're dealing with 18, 19, 20-year-olds to keep them off that social media and allow them to have only that singular focus.
Yeah, and I think with this team in particular, I think that's been a concern of Izzo's is keeping them focused. I guess how they respond to being the favorites, and like I said, early in the year they didn't respond too well. So we'll see if they have developed a little bit more maturity since then.
We're going one-on-one with Michael Emmerich. We are talking about Michigan State, and it seems like there was a real shift in terms of the popularity even with the program. I mean, I know that Coach Izzo, he's got a strong following from years past, but it just seems like everybody's jumping on board. In fact, Michigan State, the Spartans, are profiled on the front of Sports Illustrated.
I know. probably the last time they were on the cover of Sports Illustrated was when they won the national championship in 2000.
2000, yeah.
And then before that was probably preseason SI cover in 1978, which, if you'll recall, was...
I was in grade school.
The first year that Michigan State won the NCAA basketball championship. So, I think Izzo, just talking about the change in perception that has occurred this year after they won the Big Ten tournament, I think he said something like, geez, you know, we've gone from the outhouse to the penthouse in the matter of the blink of an eye. It's just been incredible, and that's kind of what's happened. So
what is your belief on how far the Spartans will go? I mean, the one positive that they definitely have going for them is the depth that they have on their roster, and they're able to go deep into the bench and have those types of rotations. I mean, that's a huge asset.
Yeah. So this is an unusual Izzo team, frankly. Usually they punish you on the boards and play lockdown defense and are a proficient offense, but most of the points come from, you know, around the paint or fast break. And yet this team is probably his best perimeter shooting team. I know they set a record for most 3 points this year by a Michigan State team. And yet for all of their offensive talents, they are only a mediocre rebounding team, certainly by Tom Izzo standards. You know, he's trying a little different recipe. Well, that's the roster he has. If they were to advance far and they certainly have the talent. You know, I've heard some national commentators suggest this is the most talented starting lineup in the nation. And, you know, it does have two first-round draft picks,
potential draft picks, a couple guys who could be, you know, maybe early second rounders. So it's loaded. You know, they got tons of talent, but they go about it very differently from passes, though, teams. So it's really kind of fascinating to see how it all plays out.
The team we are profiling is the Michigan State Spartans, and when you review just this past season, the quality wins, they are more than capable than making a very deep run and winning it all. I mean, you look at what Kentucky back in November, the win against Ohio State, Wisconsin, Michigan. I mean, that says a lot in terms of they're able to compete with the very best.
Yeah, well, I mean, they took down number two seeds, you know, two teams that are seeded number two in this NCAA tournament. They took them down in back-to-back games, and both games were blowouts. I mean, Wisconsin, I think, made it a bit of a game, but you know, at halftime, Michigan State was up by 17. So it was impressive what they were able to do, and I think they're capable of repeating that. It's just I really think with this team, it's just going to be a question of whether they can really have the mental focus necessary to get the job done.
You know, Michael, I have to mention Tom Izzo's streak of 17 straight NCAA tournament appearances. It ranks fifth all-time. It is the second longest in the Big Ten Conference. Quantify just what Tom Izzo has meant to this program. I mean, we could just go through all of this. I mean, 8 Big Ten championships, 1 national championship, 6 Final Four, 2 finals appearances. He's had an incredible run.
I mean, in the book, I put him, you know, number 2 on the list of the 100 basically most important things about Michigan State sports. So that, I guess, is a measure of just what I think of the guy. I think he's been the best coach in the history of either the football or basketball program. And, you know, what just fascinates me about Izzo is, and what he's done at Michigan State is, you know, Michigan State had some success in basketball before Izzo got there, obviously. You know, he's won a national championship.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't like to recruit. So he had a lot of, you know, ups and downs. Izzo's downs would have been considered Heathcote ups, frankly. I mean, that's the kind of run that Izzo has going here. Also, when Izzo became head coach, Michigan, if you recall, that was the whole Fab Five era.
Oh, yeah. With Steve Fisher?
Everybody, Steve Fisher, before that, Bill Frieder. You know, everybody in Michigan wanted to talk about the Fab Five and Michigan basketball. And it was in that kind of an environment that Izzo, you know, basically stepped in as head coach. His first couple of years, he went 9-9 in the Big Ten, and people wanted him fired. And they still wanted him fired into the middle of his third year until he finally went to Purdue and won on the road there, just shocked everyone in the Big Ten. And frankly, he hasn't looked back since. But what he's done with the resources, you know, that Michigan State has, you know, back when he took over, I mean, you know, they're not a blue blood basketball program. They are perennially, you know, sort of play second fiddle to the big school in the state. And yet, despite, you know, all of those odds, he was able to turn Michigan State into, I would consider it one of the top 10 programs in all of college basketball. In just 17 years, he's done that.
Right.
It's incredible.
Michael Emmerich is joining us this weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are quickly running out of time. The title of the book is 100 Things Michigan State Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. I certainly, for myself personally, I have a ton of respect for Coach Izzo. I mean, when you read his bio and just all that he's done, he's really paid his dues in coaching, worked his way up the chain, and established himself not only as a great head coach, but as a great recruiter. Well, we are flat out of time. Again, quickly, Michael, tell all the listeners where they can go and get a copy of the book.
You can get a copy certainly on Amazon. You can get a copy at Schuller's, which is a local bookstore. You can also get a copy at Barnes & Noble.
Anywhere else online.
Anywhere else, yeah.
And I promise we will invite you back on. We were just short on time. We've got to talk about Magic Johnson and the job that Mark D'Antonio did this year with the football program, winning the Rose Bowl. What an amazing run. It's an exciting time to be a Spartan. Thank you, Michael.
sure is. These are the golden days. Thank you.
All right. Much more straight ahead this weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Join us online, eradiosports.com, and Twitter at eradiosports.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show
on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio. Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell,
the Big E.
Hey, we are so glad you made it a point to join us tonight at YSR and the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker Campbell. And before we shift gears completely, we want to extend an invitation to all of you tuning in tonight. We want you to follow us at Twitter at eRadioSports. We also want you to check out our exclusive one-on-one interview later this evening with the Dallas Mavericks head coach Rick Carlisle. It is posted at our Yahoo Sports Radio Facebook page, yahoosportsradio.com. We want to encourage you to go out there and check out that. Up next, as I said, we're going to completely change things up. We're going to focus our attention on the wonderful world of running. And in our next interview, it is a book review segment. We have invited Denise Milan on. She is a journalist, the author of the new book, The Runner's Bucket List, 200 Races to Run Before You Die. Good evening, Denise. It's wonderful to have you with us.
Hi, Alyssa. Thanks for having me.
Well, congratulations on the new book. This truly is the perfect book for runners at all different levels who are searching for the world's greatest and most unique races and running adventures. But before we delve into the book, we had a chance to talk earlier in the week. Tell us a little bit about your background. What was your inspiration to get into running? Because you were not an athlete.
Right. Yeah, actually, people are really surprised to find out I hated running, actually, for most of my life. In high school, I was on the track team. But I was a thrower. I didn't do any of the running events. And I stayed fairly active through college. But after that, you know, when you graduate and you get a desk job and your life turns pretty sedentary. And so I really wasn't taking great care of myself. And my weight went up and I was fairly unhealthy. So it was about when I was 27 or 28 years old that I decided I had to make a change. And I was eating healthier and I was dropping some weight. And one of my friends who was doing 5Ks just kind of invited me, almost dared me to run one with him. And that's how I got started. I trained for only a couple weeks. I don't recommend that, by the way, because I had a terrible first race. I almost didn't finish. But at the end, I actually got a medal because there were so few people. And I just caught the bug. And so I signed up for another 5K the next week, and I wanted to do better, and it just took off from there.
And Denise, so you were talking about your not healthy lifestyle, you know, being in the office all the time, but you also were a smoker too, correct?
That's correct, yeah. I smoked for 7 years. I started in college.
So tell us about, you're sharing a little bit about that first race, but you've now competed in, what, a total of 7 marathons. So how many years have you been running now?
I started in May of 2008. And I actually ran, my first K was in May of that year, and my first half marathon was in December of 2008.
Okay, we are visiting with Denise Milan, and we are going over her book, The Runner's Bucket List, 200 Races to Run Before You Die. So tell us about the layout of the book. There's 25 chapters, and each representing a unique type of race. Break it down for us, Denise.
Right, yeah. There's all kinds of different theme races that I think everybody should try at least once. There's costume races, night races, relay races, indoor races that are really unique where you run up to 200 times around a track. Some of the races just have the best flag, the best medals. Some of them have the best parties. There's actually a chapter 2 on international races. And so the idea behind the book is that everybody should try each one of those 200 or each one of those 25 different types of races at least once.
Denise, what is a particular race that has kind of flown under the radar and it was deserving to be on the list and that perhaps some of the listeners that are into running that they don't know about?
Yeah, there's some really, really interesting nighttime races, actually. One of my favorites is the Make It by Midnight race in Macon, Georgia. And this kind of flips the race structure on its head. You actually pick your own start time, and the goal is to finish as close to midnight as possible. So everybody starts at a different time and then theoretically finishes all around the same time. This was started by a couple friends there in Macon. One of them who she complained that she was very slow, and by the time she would finish a marathon, no one was left at the finish line. So she wanted to have a race where everybody finished at the same time and could celebrate together.
Well, one particular race we definitely have to highlight, Denise, we were kidding about this, joking about this earlier in the week, is the Bear Buns Fun Run, a nudist and naturalist type run. I mean, are you kidding me? I don't even want to get the visual in my mind. Tell us about
that. Yeah, this is kind of the most interesting type of race probably for a lot of people. There are clothing optional races where you can race, you can choose to wear clothes or you can race completely nude and just wear socks and shoes if you want to. And a lot of those are on actual nudist colonies on private land. So, you know, you don't have to worry about actually, you don't have to worry about actually being out in the public. I tried one of these actually, along with my boyfriend who ended up writing about it for his experience for the book. It is truly one of the most unique experiences. And I do recommend that everybody try that at least once.
How long did it take for you to get over the initial shock of burying yourself in front of complete strangers?
Well, now, and to be perfectly honest here, full disclosure, I actually was not quite ready to bear all for this one, so I wore underwear and bra for this, and a sports bra for this one.
Good girl.
Although, if I did it again, I would totally go all the way. It really was, you know, just no one really cared what you looked like. Everybody was just having fun. It was kind of just the same race, just without clothes.
Well, I am breaking out in a sweat and I'm sitting in the shade. So let's move ahead here and let's talk about the number one was on your runner's bucket list was in Mississippi, the Blues Marathon. I like as you were sharing about the layout of the race, the marathon route, and it's along what the state's original capital and three universities.
Yeah, the first chapter there is about the best swag, and the Mississippi Blues Marathon actually has some really cool swag. They have great medals that they redesign every year that are records or guitars that sit along with the Mississippi Blues theme. They actually also give away a CD of blues and also a harmonica. So everything they do really fits in with the blues theme. They're very cool. The race that I ran from that chapter was the Little Rock Marathon, which has most likely the largest medal in marathoning. And it's kind of the reason why I chose that one as my first marathon.
Well, perhaps you desire to be a part of a big city race where there's tens of thousands of runners. What is the one big city race that perhaps that you still would like to be able to compete in and be a part of?
Yeah, the one I did compete in was the New York Marathon, which, of course, is an amazing, amazing experience. There's about 45,000 runners, and they say 2.5 million spectators, which just you just feed off the energy of that crowd. It just keeps you going for all 26 miles. The one I would still really love to do, of course, is Boston, which is, you know, the marathon that many long-distance runners aspire to. You need to qualify with your time, so I've still got a ways to go on that. I'm not the fastest runner. And, of course, you know, what happened last year with the bombing there, I would love to do Boston and to be able to honor the victims of the bombing.
You're listening to the voice of Denise Milan, and we are highlighting her brand new book that is out. It is titled The Runner's Bucket List, 200 Races to Run Before You Die. We do want to pause. Denise, tell all the listeners this evening where they can go and get a copy of the book.
Sure. You can get it at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, from the publisher TriumphBooks.com. Or you can order an autographed copy from me at runnersbucketlist.com.
What kind of feedback have you been getting from some of the ones that the runners that are picking this up?
Oh, runners so far really love the book. It's kind of, it does the research for you on some of the races that you want to run. A lot of marathoners actually aspire to do 50 marathons in 50 states, so it helps a lot of people kind of pick out their races there. But it's also, people find it really accessible. In every chapter, I made it a point to get races from all different levels, from 5K up to marathon. And in the big city chapter, where most of those are big city marathons, there's a couple of 10Ks that are actually the two biggest races in the country.
You know, you mentioned some of the big city marathons, but what about the Chicago Marathon? How would you describe that race? Because as I understand, it has a reputation for being flat and fast. What are the highlights there?
Yeah, the Chicago Marathon is still on my personal list that I really want to do, but it has a reputation for being just a nice, flat, easy race. It's in October, so it's usually great weather in Chicago, and it goes through a lot of the different neighborhoods in Chicago, so it also gets high marks for the scenery and for keeping the energy going. And that fits in with the chapter on setting a PR with races that are, you know, fairly easy. They're flat or downhill.
Denise Milan has been joining us this weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. The title of her book is The Runner's Bucket List, 200 Races to Run Before You Die. You can go anywhere online at Amazon.com and pick up a copy. Another quick hit. I love the state of Utah. I've spent time out in Moab, Utah. What do you guys have out there in terms of what did you highlight for races out there?
Yeah, Utah, gorgeous, gorgeous place. Of course, one of the races that a lot of marathoners want to do out there is the St. George Marathon, It also gets high marks for its scenery and for some downhill stretches that help you make a good time. But there's also some really interesting ones out there. The Little Grand Canyon Marathon, actually run by Mammoth Marathons. You kind of descend into a canyon, and as you go, it's almost like descending back through the geologic periods, and you can see all kinds of different histories in the rocks. You can see dinosaur footprints. It's a very interesting race.
And that's in eastern Utah, right?
Right.
Denise Milan has been with us this weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. The Runner's Bucket List, 200 races to run before you die. Go out and get a copy of that. Denise, thanks so much for joining us this evening, and happy running, okay?
Great. Thanks so much for having me.
Much more straight ahead this weekend at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Stay close.